No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we're going to find out about one of the most difficult to avoid characters on all of the Instagram comedy landscape. What's going on, Jacob? How you doing?
How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm excited to have you in here. It's like you're one of those dudes who a lot of people, if I were to just use your name, they'd be like, who? And then if you were to say the motherfucking cop on Instagram, they'd be like,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It's been quite a ride, honestly. Instagram has like changed the game, especially as an actor, entertainer. It's opened doors for me like tremendously. And now I'm here in LA living my best life and making content and just killing the game.
Yeah, how'd you get into this Instagram line of work, or especially we can get into a little bit more of your history and where you're coming from and everything, but where did this particular explosion come from?
Well, I guess to start all the way back is like I used to be a social worker, actually. I was a counselor. I got my master's in social work. I was doing mica counseling, so I was like mentally ill and chemically addicted population.
Can you guys adjust the camera?
So I was doing that for a while, and then like I got laid off, and then I started doing creative stuff, and then I did a comedy rap video called I'm a Jew that went like Barstool Sports had picked it up at the time in 2011. And that sort of put me on the path like, oh, maybe I have a future in entertainment. So I became an actor doing TV film stuff, you know, a few years training, you know, for like 5 years. And then 2017 was the breakout year when I made a video as Trump doing Bad and Bougie, and also as the Soulja Boy thing. Remember when he was like, you know, sometimes you gotta check in though. I did that as Trump.
Right.
So that was my moment where I got into the Instagram scene, and that's when I had everyone's attention, and I sort of capitalized on that and just started killing it.
When did you, so, okay, but preceding that, you're just a kid from the Bronx?
Yeah, just a kid from the Bronx, you know, growing up there. I'm 34 now, and it's been a really wild ride, but it's really exciting to see where my career has been going, you know?
Younger than me. I don't know if they're going to pick up on that.
Well, everyone always thinks I'm really old. That's like the number one troll comment. It's like, what is this 50-year-old guy doing Instagram videos for?
You right.
Know? I love it, though. I love trolls. You know?
You pull off the adult cop security guard look very well. Did anyone tell you that before you got into this? Was there anybody who ever like said to you, like, hey, you look like a cop?
Well, I kind of fell into it because when I joined the Actors Union back in 2012, one of the ways people told me to make a good living is if you get a uniform, an NYPD cop uniform, you could work as an extra. And you know, you make $30,000-$40,000 a year working 3-4 days a week.
Really?
So I was doing that.
Law and Order and shit?
Yeah, I was on Law and Order for several seasons. You'll see me like just in the background, like, you know, handing some files or being feet, you know, talking to bringing a suspect around, whatever.
Right.
And then just transitioned out of that into bigger things.
Yeah, you were like, well, as long as I got this fucking cop uniform, then I might as well just make some fucking content.
Yeah, so I had the uniform and I just started doing a little content. And then the really big moment was the For the Pussy Challenge, where I did this freestyle rap in 2017. And that was like a huge video. I had hundreds of millions of views. That changed my life.
You were coming up with these ideas yourself in terms of like, oh, like, these are things that'll go viral. I need to do something Trump related. You're producing all this content on your own?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always like the main creative. I love producing, writing, directing, you know. I have a big hand in the creative of it. When I made the Trump ones, it was like right after he had won the election and everyone was really upset. The internet was very dark place at that time. And I was like, you know what? Like, let me do some, people need to laugh. So like, let me do a video, like, you know, making fun of Trump. And then the Soulja Boy thing and it really spoke to the people. And then I just sort of took it from there. And once I had some juice, I started reaching out to other influencers I wanted to work with. Like the first two people I reached out to was Ken Starrs and Fatboy SSC.
Okay.
And I was just like, hey, I'm Jake. You know, you might see my videos. I have a cop uniform. I'd love to shoot with you.
Fatboy SSC, kind of like the king of the East Coast Instagram comedian shit.
Yeah, he definitely has put his mark on the map.
Supreme Patty running Florida.
Yeah.
Approximately, maybe Hollywood too. Maybe you could even throw Bunk in that category. You know, he's one of the dudes who blew up the biggest out of that whole region and everything.
He doesn't go by Bunk anymore, though, right?
John Gabbana.
Is he
out?
Yeah, I think he's out. He's not making content like that. You know, obviously, he's not, you know, the same Bunk gang.
Yeah.
That was totally different.
That was a wild time. I sometimes when I look back on that, I just wish that he had stayed the course, because all he had to do was just keep stealing shit or pretending to steal shit. And I mean, people like that. They like that simple idea. That's one thing that I noticed when it comes to the Instagram comedy idea, is that they like it when you could distill your personality down into like a very simple idea and then just run with that.
Well, he was just self-destructive. Obviously, he started getting his dick sucked on his story, posting it. And, you know, right. Like he was obviously just on the road. So he couldn't take the the glory and the fame and stuff like that, because that's a lot to take in. Like, once you become like insta famous, it's a very real thing. It's surreal because it's like, it's something that wouldn't have existed like 20 years ago. Like, if this didn't exist, I'd just be a normal humdrum character actor, getting my little TV roles here and there. No one would know who I am. But now from the Instagram, like, I go down the street and people stop me all the time and like, you know who I am. And it's surreal. It's like an A-list attention.
Yeah. That's weird because everybody's on fucking Instagram. Well, the young kids and stuff are on Instagram.
Yeah. The 18 to 35, you know?
Right. It's weird. Kind of like, you know, sometimes when you think about like really famous people, I was watching Ellen for some reason the other day and I was just thinking, I'm like, fucking Ellen is so famous. Like, I feel like all these rappers, all these like social media celebrities are so famous, but then you got Ellen and she's on a different level. But the reality is, if you go get a TV show for the most part, like, unless you're one of the biggest stars on one of the biggest shows, being on TV is really not that big a deal. Like, if you could go get a TV show and it's going to be on some shitty ass network and it's going to be on for 3 years and nobody's going to fucking know about it.
Well, it's all about, you know, also movies and stuff like that. Like, for me personally, like, my goal is just be a regularly working actor, hopefully someday win awards and stuff like that, and just leave my legacy behind of someone who's able to make content that like affected people and like maybe brought a smile to their face through the course of their tough day or whatever, maybe, or made them feel something. You know, that's what I'm all about, really.
Yeah. Was there so you already had like the actor dream, and then would you consider yourself sort of frustrated with that dream when you went on to try out the Instagram stuff?
No, because it kind of just, I mean, I had Instagram, but I wasn't making any content for Instagram prior to the Trump videos that I had made. But once I got into that, I just started making content, making these, you know, short little videos, and I just kept having success. And World Star Repost, you know, shout out to World Star Hip Hop. They've been tremendous help in helping me grow and helping my career as well. And just moving it forward and just killing it.
Yeah. So what's it like when you go do a video with somebody, like on average? Is it typically, or what's an average day like for you? You're just going out and just sort of like, when you meet up with one of these people, like what's the thought process like?
Well, you know, I'm like, now that I have a bigger following and like, you know, I'm blue check verified, which is like, you know, a big deal in the Instagram community to be having that blue check. It's so silly when you describe you're someone who doesn't understand social media. Like, yeah, I got this check mark. Like, it makes it like,
well, it's a big deal because you're not going to get deleted.
Well, that's one thing, but also like, it gives you power. Like, I think the algorithm favors you when you have a blue check and stuff, and people just respect the check because they're like, oh, this person is somebody, you know, they don't just give those out.
Yeah, and it kind of changes the whole commenting game, because all of a sudden dropping comments actually does something because you tend to get highlighted up at the top.
Exactly, yeah, that's definitely a good way to gain right there.
You know, the crazy shit is that Drake, you can only comment on Drake's shit if he follows you.
Oh, really?
So it's like a very exclusive club gathering.
Hey, yeah.
I've just barely...
You're in that club now, right?
But I don't want to get unfollowed by dropping ignorant-ass comments.
So you select, like, you drop, like, one a week? Like, or one, like,
if I feel like I have a comment that is appropriate for the situation, then I'll drop it. But it's also weird, too, because you'll drop a comment on Drake's Instagram and you'll see 4,000 likes. Yeah. No responses.
Yeah.
You never see that. Yeah. You never see someone comment and then not get a bunch of responses under their comment.
There's only like a dozen comments probably or something.
Right? Yeah, and nobody can respond to your comment unless Drake follows them. It's just a weird weird thing. You know, it's like,
you understand the power of the Instagram comments.
Oh yeah, big time. You know, you ever see how Dennis Rodman's been going viral with it because he has set up to drop a non-comment on everybody's shit? It's like it just looks like he's commenting nothing.
No, I haven't seen that. That's hilarious.
That's a weird one. I don't know who put him on that. I'm sure it's not him. I'm sure it's somebody on his team.
It's hilarious. But to finish answering your question, as far as when I get together with people, usually I have an idea. We come together. I don't really like write out scripts a lot of time. I kind of have a sense of like because usually in comedy there's three beats, so you just want to kind of know how like the setup, the middle, and the end, like the punch, like the hook. So as long as like we come together and we figure that out, we kind of ad lib it, we feel it out, see how the shots work. Boom, shoot it. Usually, you know, pretty quickly. I'm using my phone on most of my content. Like, it shoots in 4K. You don't need like a fancy camera to make like what you want to do creatively. Like, there's never been a better time as an entertainer, as an actor, because of the technology we have, how it's so easy to shoot.
Yeah, it's crazy how like people get bigger and bigger in the Instagram comedy space, and then that's one thing that just stays consistent is that everybody just keeps filming shit on their phones. So this is like, and there's like a rawness to it that I think if you were to film something with like a really nice camera, that people would be less drawn to it.
Well, that's the funny thing is that honestly, like, high production value content doesn't do as well on Instagram because people prefer that organic look. Like, you know, my biggest videos have been ones that look kind of real, Those are always like those short, especially those short, quick ones, you know? Mm-hmm. Like people don't have the patience for long form content, but obviously I need to begin to make more long form content as I evolve and get onto bigger platforms and
stuff. Have you tried to do the YouTube thing at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm trying to monetize that right now and everything, get that together. Mm. But I kind of made a conscious effort decision early on that I was going to go get my bag from just building my brand on Instagram, and I would get brand deals and hostings and, just that those kind of things. That's where I made that decision to do that instead. So
take me through what it's like to get a bag off Instagram for somebody in your position. Like, how do you monetize and how good is it?
Yeah, well, as long as you have a nice following, you're going to be able to charge, like, accordingly, especially if you're hot, you know. So when I get working with big name people, that means I can charge accordingly. Mm-hmm. So basically, a lot of brands reach out to me, or I'll reach out to them, and I'll pitch a concept, and if we agree upon the price, then we just go ahead. They send me a deposit, and
I'm not gonna ask you how much you get, but I have 1.5 million followers. How much do you think I could get from a story post? Like, what do you think is a fair rate for me? I get about 120,000 views for the story.
I would say at least 1,000, 1,500 for a story.
Okay,
that's what I would say.
Yeah,
somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah,
but like if you had like something on your page, I would say like at least like 15,000, because what people say is like every 100,000 is supposed to equal 1,000 in like marketing terms. Like, because I've been meeting a lot of brand managers and marketing people and stuff like that, those kind of people that get tied into when you're making content for these brands. Uh-huh. But overall, it's been a great market, especially because there's a lot of like things that can't go traditional market as far as advertising, like cannabis or alcohol or whatever it may be. You can do it on social media.
What are the kind of brands that you typically end up doing the most work with?
I mean, definitely a lot of rappers, because obviously they see I have a big part in the hip hop culture.
Oh, so smaller rappers will hit you up. And then what is the typical pitch from them?
They just be like, check out my work, what are your rates? Mm-hmm. And just break it down to them as far as like what it costs to like, say, have the song in the video, but it's not about the song, and then a skit where the skit is actually about you, the artist, or you're in the skit. So those are two different rates. And they just agree upon it. And I've had good success at some of the videos I've done for artists have been reposted by big pages.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the hook, is to be like, shit, Worldstar might post it, bud.
Yeah. I think I make a good, intelligent piece of content, because there's a lot of different type of Instagram personalities, but I'm not the type, just go crazy, like jumping around, doing whatever. Like I'm making like a lot of times produced content, like there's effort into it.
Yeah. See, that's the weird thing is that when you look at the sort of, YouTube or Instagram comedy landscape, it's sort of like there's a lot of young kids. Like young people seem like the ones who are doing it. Us being guys in our mid-30s, it's a little bit like shit. Sometimes you see the level of energy that people are coming with on Instagram, and you're like, fuck, I don't know that I necessarily have that, or at least not for too long.
Well, you just gotta be able to evolve and adapt to the situation. Like, you have no choice. Like, because there's a lot of actors who just don't know how to get hip to the Instagram thing. Like, and I don't get it, because anyone can do it. Like, you just gotta be creative and have that hustler ambition to make it happen.
You think that they have this like sort of fantasy idea that they're just going to have this amazing traditional Hollywood career where they're going to just get put on some show and everything's going to be great. They won't have to try, because that's kind of the ultimate dream. When you look at a lot of like top actors, they almost do no press. You almost never get to see their actual personality. They just straight up like fall back and they just let that be their thing. Like life must be kind of easy when all you have to do is actually just go and film your show.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like when you put yourself in a position like yours where you're sort of accepting smaller amounts of money from people and such, I mean, it's like opening up a very different way of life that a lot of people maybe wouldn't be able to handle.
Yeah, I mean, it's what the best thing is for me. It's like maybe it's so I don't really sweat it that much if I'm not getting an audition for, say, a major TV show or film, or I'm not booking something, because I'm making better living than 95% of actors out there because of what I do on social media. So it supplements that. And it's also a situation where one hand really washes the other. Like when I had booked a role on the show Power, when I got to set, the director was like, oh, I love your content on so-and-so's page, So like obviously that... Like, obviously, I knew the casting director knew me. I booked with her before and everything, but obviously, being recognized helped me get that role.
Familiarity goes a long way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Done a lot of stuff with like 50 Cent and his old production company.
What's he like?
He seemed like a cool dude. You know, we shot a bunch of promo commercials for his show 50 Central like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And it was just like a real honor because I grew up listening to 50 Cent, you know, like, same. You know, G-Unit mixtapes and like all that. Like, you know, it was surreal. There's been a lot of like really amazing, like validating, surreal moments in my career so far that just like make me know that like I'm on the right path, that I'm doing the right thing. And I know I'm just going to keep killing it as long as I just stay. Like, keep that momentum and don't give up.
You ever have any sketchy situations where you're going to meet up with some random ass rapper that DM'd you and then all of a sudden you find yourself on the projects or something?
Well, one time I went to do a music video shoot in the Bahamas that's like deep in Brooklyn, like super, it's like East New York, close, like really far.
I've ridden BMX in East New York. It's definitely not the kind of environment you would want to go to.
Yeah, so we were shooting a video where like basically like I was grabbing the guy, we were shooting in the hallway of the projects. Like, we had no like permit or anything like that. Like, I felt like mad sus. I was like, let's just get this done and like I'm gonna get my money and get the fuck out of here, like, you know. So that was definitely like a situation, but usually I'm pretty good at like feeling out stuff, you know. I got a really good sixth sense and like
you ever have anybody try to play with the money afterwards?
I've been pretty good so far. No one's really played game. Everyone's been satisfied customer as far as what I've done,
right?
You know, I'm usually able to like weasel people out who aren't real and such.
Mm.
But so far, I haven't had any issues. Like, it's been great.
You don't get the deposit beforehand?
Yeah, I get deposit. Oh, okay. Yeah, always.
That's
yeah.
a good idea.
Yeah, like if it's something like they're paying me to repost something, then they're going to pay me the full amount before I repost it.
Right.
But if it's like a sketch, they're going to pay me the deposit of half, and then they're going to pay me the other part when I have the sketch ready to post, like, you know, within 7 days or so.
You never had any issues with like impersonating a police officer? Because I've seen that somebody got busted for making a YouTube video giving out parking tickets recently.
Yeah, people be wild. And honestly, people don't understand, like, because that's the thing. I don't really just go around doing it willy-nilly. Like, a lot of my stuff where I play the cop character, it's very well thought out. I try and be as safe as possible. Like, I don't try and play like that, like trying to impersonate some, like really like messing with people on some prank shit. Like, I would never do that.
Right.
Overall, cops love what I do. Like, back in New York, I get so much love from the NYPD.
I
actually recently spoke to, because I posted that video. You seen that video of the NYPD cop on the bike and he fell and busted his head.
Yes.
So I posted that, and then a local police department's Instagram like hit me up and I'm gonna possibly do a sketch like at their department. Like, I'm gonna send them some concepts and they're gonna see if command will sign off on it.
That would be so cool if you were like the remember how they had the McGruff the crime dog?
Yeah,
you could be like that. Like, but make people like the cops more by you sort of representing them.
But seriously, because cops back in New York will come up to me like, yeah, like kids will come up to us and be like, yo, is this Officer Berger? Is he with you guys? Is he the real cop? Like, you know?
Wow.
So I think I do what a good job is, like, I kind of like walk the balance and I'm able to like hold police accountable for some of the like bad things they do, but also I humanize the badge as well, like with the content I bring, you know, that show that it's gray, it's not always black and white and stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like so many people in the hip-hop space, their opinion is you're just supposed to hate every cop, blah blah blah. And I'll even be talking about like, yeah, a cop came by and was like talking to us about this and that in the shop, blah blah blah, and they will act like I just committed some serious crime by acknowledging that I had a friendly conversation with a cop. And I'm I mean, from my perspective, I think the LA police officers are alarmingly nice and friendly. Now, granted, I exist in a different space because I'm a fucking business owner.
And I'm white, right?
I feel you. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying, I see cops deal with a lot of sketchy shit around this block all the time. And I've never seen the cops around here, at least through my experience, I've never seen them really cross the line.
Yeah, but they've really like embraced like my content. Like, I don't really get any negative reviews for the stuff I do. Like, a lot of times you get mostly compliments from it.
Yeah, I mean, if you were just like prancing around in the suit, just walking on the street.
But sometimes I'll get people that want me to do some shit, and I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that. Like, you know,
they want you to run around downtown.
Yeah, like some shit wrong with with a gun out, like on Broadway, like, first. Like, you know, I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
You don't have like a prop gun that you bring around with you?
Yeah, I got a little, like little prop one that I have and stuff, you know, so. But most of the time, if I use it, it's like I try to do those scenes like inside something controlled, so I know like nothing bad will happen or people bug out. But people do bug out sometimes when we shoot stuff because they like think it's real because I play it well, like, you know. I'm like, you know, like, don't move your boot, you know whatever. So
yeah, definitely. Who have you met through this whole career path that has been exciting for you? You mentioned 50 Cent already, but you were mentioning
50 Cent
Bad
was
Baby and Kodak earlier.
Oh yeah, the first week I moved to LA, this is I ended up working because I basically, when I was in Miami, I did the video. Remember when that clip first came out of Kodak in the studio? It was like the like that short little clip. I was like, that's gonna be a thing. So me and Lil Terrio did a video, And that like got the attention of his team. And then when I moved to LA, Terrio was here too, and he did another video. And then his DJ reached out to me. And then like one day before I was going up to the farm to work, he just called me and was like, yeah, come to the studio tonight. And we just shot the skit. And it was amazing, like, to be able, I was just like, this is surreal. Like, I'm in LA and I'm chilling out with Kodak Black. And
you had never been, have you ever been around like rapper? Well, you said the 50 Cent thing, but was this like kind of a new experience being in that environment?
No, I mean, I chilled with other rappers before. Like, I did stuff with Styles P. I'm actually like on his last album. Like, I did a little audio skit.
Really?
Stuff. Yeah. So like that was, I guess that was real because I come from the Bronx. So like, I'm right next to Yonkers and everything. I listen to.
That's crazy because the first music video I was ever in was Styles P back in like 2007. We're basically in the locks.
We're in the locks. I agree. We're the bagel and locks.
No. I've always been waiting. No, I think there's definitely there's rappers who've made that punchline, like something about locks and the locks and bagels and such,
and then just like people I've met working in my TV and film career. Like I got to work on a Woody Allen film called Wonder Wheel like a year and a half ago, and I got to do a scene with Kate Winslet. So that was like a big deal. I'm like, wow, I did a whole scene with Kate Winslet. Like, you know, I watched her in Titanic growing up. Like, you know, it was just a really rewarding experience.
Was she cool or was she
Cool as shit. Like we what was great about it was that it was just supposed to be a really quick scene. It was like an eighth of a page. Like she said a line, I said a line. But on the day, like she wanted to do this ad lib, so we did this, like we ad libbed the scene and I got all this extra dialogue, and Woody's like, yeah, I love it, like let's keep it.
Wow.
And we shot it, so I ended up having more dialogue. And then at the end we were like, I was like, oh, thank you so much for such an honor. Like, you know, it's my first, you know, whatever, first big film. Uh-huh. And she's like, oh, give Jake a big round of applause. I was like, kind of like everyone clapping. I was like, oh, I feel like I'm king of the world. And she was like, ah, don't ruin it. Like, you
know. That's what she said?
So, yeah, so that was funny.
Like she's probably had 100 people try to bust that joke out on her before. Yeah,
I mean, it was too much of an alley-oop for me not to do it. Like, I would have regretted it if I hadn't said it. So that, like, that was a really cool experience, like meeting her and working with her.
That's such a weird experience when you're around a famous person and you kind of, you know, you have stuff that you want to say to them, but then like it's like for me, like then I start thinking like, oh yeah, they've heard that a lot. Like they like, you know, I interviewed ICP.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask them about Tila Tequila and how she got chased off the stage.
Yeah.
And I thought I had a pretty like interesting question to ask there. And as soon as I started asking it, I believe Shaggy 2Dub was just like, oh, this shit, like he's like, and you just realize, like, oh yeah, these are the things that people ask them over and over and over.
It's
probably what most of this interview's been like for you, like just answering questions you already answered 5 million times.
No, I love answering questions and talking about my life. It's the best thing ever.
You do. See, that's a weird thing that for me is that like people always will come up to me and ask me like some basic ass shit that I already answered 5,000 times, and I'm just like, ugh, like.
Well, you know what it is? I think there's like levels of fame and stuff like that, and it's funny with me because like now I'm at a point where I have some fame, but I'm about like eight, so like I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be approached like people like, you know, where you're like, oh, I don't want to talk, you know, whatever. I don't want to talk to this person maybe or whatever.
Right.
But at the same token, like I'm trying to get up with someone who maybe has more juice than me, and you know. So it's funny to work it from both perspectives where, like, you know, you like there's people you dub, but then there's people who dub you, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've been trying to wrap my head around what kind of potential skit we might end up doing. Like,
I brought my cop uniform.
We have a store. We have an actual security guard.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what we could do, but I mean, it could be you coming in and telling me that you want to be my new security guard and trying to tell this security guard to get the fuck out of here. I don't know what his personality, I don't know if he's like a funny guy, if he would even want to be part of this, but.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out after the interview. Definitely.
Just sort of like shoot ideas
we'll just shoot the shit, you know. I figure out my content pretty quickly, you know.
Well, one cool part about you that I realized since you got here is that you get high as fuck because you gave me this pre-roll joint from Supreme Green out of Humboldt County.
Yes,
Supreme
Green, it's a new pre-roll joint brand. We have a farm up in Humboldt County, and we're fully white label licensed and everything, and we're just going to be getting all the way to California, everywhere. And, you know, we're going to be hitting the road soon, just getting to the dispensaries, and very excited. It's a different kind of joint product. We were trying to change the people's perceptions of pre-rolls, you know, because a lot historically pre-roll has like trim and like just it's usually trash. Like, we use a different farming style called modern natural farming, where we give the plants fermented fruit juices and locally sourced ingredients, no man-made chemicals, pesticides.
Wow.
So it's 100% vegan, 100%, you know,
I got a weed strain coming out. I wish I could say all that shit about it. I don't know shit about it. Yeah.
Well, I got to have my points ready, you know, to tell the people.
No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it does look like gas in there. It's like sometimes people will give me these pre-roll blunts or whatever. Not Bearwoods. Shut up, Bearwoods. They're great. But sometimes people give me other blunt products. Yeah. And for me, it's like, I don't necessarily want to smoke this big weird thing with all this crazy shit, so I'll break it open and just put it in a blunt. But when I break it open, I realize like, holy fuck, it's really put some trash in this
trash
thing.
Weed. Yeah, no, I was there on the farm. Like, I've been part of this from the beginning. Like, I was there like to trim the plants and trim all the buds, and you know, it's been a real passion, and it's really great to see it finally taking off. We had our launch party last week. It was really awesome. And we really think we're going to really just kill it, become one of those big brand names, you know, in the industry.
Definitely. You were growing up in the Bronx smoking nickel bags sitting on the corner?
Of course. I remember smoking dime bags where you could get like four blunts out of them shits. You know? Yeah. Like, it was just that Jamaican like yard weed, or like just that Mexican brick weed. Like, it was just disgusting. The mango pina or whatever the hell. Like,
I remember at the skate park that I would, it was normal. And this is even in like 2006, 2007, that it was like normal for us to just buy like $5 sacks of weed. And I mean, I was never the one rolling it at that time, so I don't actually know how they made that stretch. It was definitely a white owl for sure.
White owls,
Because then, and that's weird too, because then all of a sudden you're spending a dollar for the blunt wrap. Like, you're telling me that the blunt wrap is 20% of the cost of the weed that you're putting inside the blunt wrap? Yeah. I mean, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, it was definitely, like, it's crazy. People nowadays are spoiled growing up with, like, just this bomb-ass weed that they got.
Hell yeah.
They didn't have to smoke the headache weed that we had to smoke growing up.
You know what? I had a funny experience the other day where I was interviewing Kush Poppy. And
oh, yeah, it's the homie, Joseph, good friend of mine.
Good dude who you would assume probably smokes a good amount of weed based on being named Kush Poppy. But then I fucking sparked one of these pre-roll Bearwoods, and he got a little too high. I'm going to be honest with you.
He gets goofy. He do be smoking, but he gets goofy. Like, you know, that's why anytime we shot, I was like, look, we're shooting the skits first before we do anything. You know?
He couldn't stand up by the end of it. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, afterwards, he went and tried to play. We have, like, a video game console, and he seemed like I didn't see it, but one of my employees told me that he was having a hard time standing up trying to play Pac-Man. So that was a little high.
Oh, Joseph.
Even back in the day, like 3 years ago, I had Wi-Fi's funeral on the podcast, and I for a while, I didn't want to say that it was him, but then he brought it up on the podcast the other day, but he fucking smoked a blunt and got so high that he kind of passed out during it, and he fell asleep.
Yeah, some people can't hang, so he does get like that when he smokes.
I'm sure he gets higher now, and he's used to it. But, you know, and a lot of times people come from...
California's different, though. The cannabis is way stronger out here in California compared to other places that they might be. You know, he's from the Midwest, so...
I remember that after years and years and years of smoking New York weed, I remember when I came out to California, and I was on this, you know, week and a half long road trip. We're in this giant RV, and the whole deal is that I'm supposed to be like talking to the camera while I'm there. And we're smoking like 10 blunts a day. It's my first time off of the real, real Cali weed. And I was getting fucking obliterated and being so like introverted and wasn't talking to the camera. I'm like freaking out in my head and stuff. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say. It's actually weird. I haven't felt like that from weed in so long.
Well, one of my biggest surprises when we moved out here is realizing how silly we are back east for loving sour diesel. Like, how California. Like, they like those fucking heathens back in New York. Like, give them the sour diesel they want. Like, we'll keep the gelato and the cookies and the OGs and like all that stuff, you know. So
it must be weird for you to even be able to be in the business of legally like developing weed
it's
products.
It's pretty surreal knowing the government like knows that we're like growing cannabis.
If you were to take this back to New York, all of a sudden you got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. But from everything that I hear, like, cannabis is probably going to be federally legal within like the decade, like, you know, probably sooner, like, is from everything I'm hearing from people, like, especially as it gets legalized on all the coast, it just starts to shrink in and just take over.
It'll just seem more and more apparent that they can't continue to live this way.
Yeah, but they got to do something about the taxes, though, because that's what's killing us. There's still a huge black market here in California as far as cannabis goes, because, like, white label, you're getting 35% tax, like, as the customer. So a lot of customers would rather just go to a place that's doing it, you know, under the table.
No, my guy who worked for me was telling me that he went to this fucking weed shop around here and spent $80 on an eighth.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm like, that's not going to work for me. Because we put more than an eighth in a blunt, and I'm not really trying to smoke an $80 blunt.
Yeah, that's get taken advantage of.
Yeah. So I don't know. I wonder sometimes about like the legal shops and all those brands and stuff and how they're going to be doing. Although I also probably going to be in the position where I'm pushing legal at like, you know, clinic weed.
It's
got
to come to some middle ground, because then you look at a state like Oregon where they're overrun with product and it's so cheap because like the tax, whatever, I don't know what's going on in that situation, but hopefully there's some middle ground we can find or bring down, at least make it like realistic, the taxes for a few years, you know, just so it has time, because that money should hopefully go down to enforcing, closing down the black market dispensaries and such.
No, yeah, and it's fucking crazy just how like the big fucking companies are coming in and sort of like usurping the whole weed scene, like just trying to swallow up all this business. And it's
The big business is in Humboldt County. They know what's going on. They're investing millions and millions of dollars. Like they. Like, if they're making that bet, that's why, like, I'm certain that it's going to be federal. Because if the big business is investing hundreds of millions of dollars into this already, like, you know they're not doing that unless they feel it's a certain.
I just saw Walmart is carrying CBD.
Really?
CBD products, Walgreens, too, I believe. Like,
CBD is great. My mom taking CBD. And like, you know, it honestly feels like taking Xanax without having to take Xanax.
You
like,
really feel that way about it?
Yeah, it makes me feel, it gives me that same relaxed feeling.
I got to do more, man, because I ain't done enough CBD, I don't think.
Well, you got to make sure you get, like, good CBD, because, like, there's a lot of, like, fake CBD, like the gas station shit. Like, that'd be, like, fake CBD. You need to get, like, real, because real CBD costs basically just as much, sometimes even more than regular cannabis, you know?
Really?
And now there's a whole movement of, like, hemp bars opening up, like just CBD shops where they have CBD weed. Like, you can smoke it, but it won't get you high, but you'll feel relaxed, you know?
You married, girlfriend, anything like that?
Not single at the moment, just married to the game and the hustle.
Married to the Instagram thoughts?
Yeah, married to the Instagram thoughts.
Does that work?
The thoughts?
You got the thoughts swimming in your DMs? Like, I've heard women like a man in uniform.
They do love a man. I do get some very... friendly DMs.
Come over and wear the cop uniform.
Yeah, there's been some funny DMs over the years. But yeah, it's just been a really funny. Yeah.
So you're acting like you don't partake?
I try to just keep it 100 and just keep it moving.
I'm focused on my career.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get a locked down relationship and stuff. You know, if I have something, it's casual.
Yeah, you don't got to get locked down to get some Instagram ass, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
In fact, if they try to bring that up, then that's definitely a sign that you should maybe take a step back.
Yeah, but nah, but everyone thinks I always like smash the girls that I like work with and stuff, but that's really not the case. Like, I'd rather like have them be comfortable with me and be able to do all the wild stuff that we do in the skits and be comfortable.
You never had the situation go past just working together where all of a sudden like you do a skit together and then all of a sudden
That happens here and there, but you know, for the most part, I try and keep it professional.
Nice. Is there anybody in the Instagram like scene that you would want to work with that stands out to you as like, you know, they would be great to get it in with?
You mean like working just skits and stuff? Or chicks or just
no, just anyone in general.
In general. Definitely Spice Adams. He's hilarious. You know Spice?
I don't think so.
He's the dude who used to be on the Bears and stuff. He does all these like basketball videos. He's really hilarious. Check him out. Yeah,
he's
supposed to do some stuff. Yeah,
I feel like Brother Nature is one that's fucking exploded. You know what I'm talking about? The fool with all the animals. Yeah, he's like, when I see his engagement on Twitter, I'm just like, holy fuck, bro. Yeah. He's taking this to a totally different level.
Nice. Yeah, he has a niche. Like, you know, the animal thing is good. Like, look at him and Tarzan.
Maybe you should try that. Maybe you should get a tiger. Yeah.
Well, I'm supposed to do a skit for a brand this week, and I'm going to have animals in it. You know, I'm doing this whole thing. It's for a edible brand.
Oh, really?
So.
That's dope. These brands ever catch feelings? Like, you should be working with one brand and not all of them.
I mean... No, not really. I'm not taking everyone's business like that, too, you know? So, obviously, I'm not going to do a skit right now for a pre-roll brand, like, you know? But if it's something that doesn't compete with what I'm doing, then I feel that it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I got a lot of clout to give out, you know? I got to share the clout. You just got to give it to everyone.
You got to know your worth at a certain point in terms of just being able to even... control your shit. Like, when I started doing live streams, people were, you know, I didn't even realize that I was gonna have people start paying me to play their music. People all of a sudden start sending $10, like, play my song. I'm like, shit, all right, well, I guess I gotta play it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I gotta raise these rates, you know? This is like pure supply and demand.
You need to constantly be raising your rates, and it's hard because sometimes you're like, wow, like, I can't believe I'm gonna get this much money for something that like I came up with in my head. Like, you know, but it's the reality of it. Like, you just gotta know your worth. You know, you charge what you feel you're worth.
Facts. That's definitely true. Is there anything else that we should talk about? Or do you have any hobbies? Anything you do in your life outside of the Instagram stuff?
Honestly, like, my days are pretty much committed to just always making content and just, like, auditioning and doing those sorts of things. Like, just always keep my finger to the pulse of Instagram, looking for trends and stuff. That's a big part of, like, making content that's viral is, like, hitting trends. Like, you have to kind of... be able to read the tea leaves, like, you know, all the time. So
right.
I'm always jumping on that. But I like going to the movies. I like hiking.
Hiking? Yeah. Where, Central Park?
I recently went to, I died though. I went to the Hollywood sign. Like, I did that long ass where it's super steep for like 2 miles or whatever.
Really?
Like, yeah, that thing killed me.
Oh, you went up to the actual sign?
Yeah.
See, I've hiked in that whole area. I actually did a vlog that got 3 million views where I went there and did acid. But we didn't actually go to the sign. We were just like hiking the surrounding mountains.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. That's what I love about California. I don't really be missing New York because I moved out here 6 months ago. Like, California's just so beautiful, and so it's warm, it's nice, you know?
Right.
But I got to go back to New York next week, so.
What are you doing back there?
I'm actually emceeing a good friend's wedding because I used to emcee weddings, bar mitzvahs, sweet 16s for the first few years of my career.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they knew, so I promised them I would do it. But I didn't know I was going to be part of this cannabis brand like a year and a half later. So now it's like the worst possible time for me to be doing it because I have to go back to New York instead of being out here for 420. So.
Oh, right. Yeah. The 420 thing. I forgot about that. Yeah, I'm going to be at Coachella. I didn't get booked for anything.
No one booked out on 22.
I mean, people hit me up, but I'm going to be honest. It's kind of like a thing where I make enough money through the YouTube thing that I'm not trying to do anything unless it's X amount of dollars, and X amount of dollars is like most people aren't really trying to pay that unless it's you know, because there's a lot of like smaller people that they could go to and stuff. You know, people hit me up all the time trying to get me to go, you know, come host this show, we'll give you $3,000. I'm like, no, I don't get on a plane for $3,000.
Yeah, exactly. You need to make sure it makes what you want.
It's not even like me having my head up my ass. It's just like at a certain point, it's like, well, there's all these other things I could be doing that I'm going to make a lot more money than that. So, and I just don't want it. Like, a lot of times it's like people that seem a little sketchy, not maybe 100% trustworthy.
Yeah, because honestly, like, I'm at a point now where I really do need to start building a team. I just got to get a little more of a bag, and then I can start having, like, a publicist and, like, an assistant and stuff like that.
You don't have, like, a manager?
No, as far as social media goes, no. I mean, I have TV and film representation, but they really, like, not as much involved in, like, the social. Like, that's really my domain, so to speak, everything I've been doing. Because I just have a really good business acumen and know how to just, like, build my brand and just do what I do.
Yeah, that is the weird part, too, is that I would love to get, like, a manager, but it's, like, I never meet people that I'm like, oh, yeah, you're the guy. Like, you could govern my career better than I could govern my own career.
It's hard because you have to give up control. And, like, for me, I enjoy, like, I know no one's going to go as hard for me as me, like, you know, so it's hard to put that trust in someone else, like, to find that perfect person.
Yeah.
But hopefully it comes with time, you know. I'm excited. Hopefully this business, Supreme Green, hopefully that will make me a wealthy guy as well, so I won't need to worry about promo or any of that kind of stuff.
I think it's inevitable.
Yeah.
3X berry goo.
Yeah, triple berry goo. We have five different strains. So, yeah, we're very excited to just kick it off, you know, and just get it all over there and just have it as a new movement.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate you coming on here. Anything Thank else we so should shout out or talk
no,
about?
No, just, you know, everyone can follow me at Jacob Berger Actor, Berger.
It's
actor
on the screen.
Yeah. Oh, it's on the screen. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just go and check out Supreme Green with 3 underscores as well. And yeah, thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, my brother.
Appreciate All you, right. man. It was very interesting to get into your head and see what goes on with this mysterious character that we all see on the internet so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you, man. All right. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, nojumper.com. Cop some merch. Peace.